Okay, thank you very much. Today I'm going to talk about a very long-term drainage and water quality research project that we have in southeastern Indiana. Of course, naturally poorly drained soils are a real challenge for producers. This is certainly not a situation that they want to see in their fields. And so, as a result, tile drainage or subsurface drainage is a very common water management practice. In many parts of the world, in particular, I'm going to be talking about the Midwest part of the USA. Even our best managed corn and soybean cropping systems lose more nitrate than is desirable from a water quality standpoint, as well as being an economic loss to the producer. So there are many different practices that folks are looking at in order to reduce those losses, including how we design the drainage system in the first place, which would include drain spacing and whether we include control structures, along with winter cover crops. And of course, there are many other practices as well, but those are the two that I'm going to touch on today. So the study I'm talking about is in southeastern Indiana on a Claremont silt loam, which is a low organic matter, high silt soil. There's a frangipane-like horizon, so it's not quite classified as a frangipane, at a depth of 1.2 meters, and that's what holds the water up. So that's what makes our soil naturally poorly drained and why we need to have some kind of artificial drainage system. So what I want to talk about today is the drain flow and nitrate concentrations and nitrate loads as affected by some of our treatments, which is drain spacing, as affected by changes in cropping system and nitrogen fertilizer management over the course of the study, and then look at some changes over time that are independent of anything that we have done to the management of the system. And I'm going to compare the first 15 years of that study, which are published in a Journal of Environmental Quality article from 2004, to some recent 14 years data. So this might be classified as a long-term study at 29 years. But basically, we're working on writing up that paper at this moment. The design of that study is to have four different drain spacings. The widest drain spacing is what we consider to be like our undrained control at 40 meters for that low permeability soil. We have two replicates of our drain spacings, and that is our major treatment drain spacing at 5, 10, and 20 meters. The drains were installed in 1983 with laser-guided equipment, standard equipment, with our main drain parallel to the highway and our laterals going up perpendicular from that. Each of our lateral drains that we're measuring goes into a culvert where we measure the drain flow with tipping bucket equipment, and then we sample that automatically with an ISCO automated water sampler on a flow proportional basis. I'm going to spend a little bit of time on this crop management since it obviously affects all the results I'm going to be talking about. The first 10 years of the study was a continuous corn treatment. We started in 1984, but our flow measurements didn't begin until 1985. So the first 5 years, we had continuous corn, chisel tillage, 285 kilograms per hectare of pre-plant nitrogen as anhydrous ammonia, plus around 20 to 25 kilograms of starter nitrogen. That was the recommended nitrogen fertilizer rate at the time for a goal of 200 bushel corn. We did use a nitrification inhibitor, and we did not have a cover crop. In 1989, by that time, our fertilizer extension recommendations had reduced to 228 kilograms of preplant nitrogen, still as anhydrous ammonia. In 1994, we did switch to a corn-soybean rotation. We switched from chisel to no-till, and because we were now in a rotation with soybeans, our fertilizer recommendation was reduced to 200 kilograms of nitrogen per hectare, and we added a winter cover crop or trap crop. We just grew winter wheat at that time because it was easy for everybody to implement, and we were only growing it every other year, really for much of this time. We were using it after corn, basically as a trap for any residual soil nitrogen. And then in 1996, we reduced the rate a little bit further to 177 kilograms of nitrogen, still with our starter nitrogen, and again, still with our cover crop. I do need to mention that in 2003, we switched from pre-plant anhydrous ammonia to side-dress UAN, or urea ammonium nitrate, but still at the same rates. Please note that all of our fertilizer is spring or side-dress early summer. So the nitrate leaching is not because we put nitrogen on in the fall. We do not put nitrogen on in the fall. All of our leaching is from spring or early summer. Okay, as several of our other speakers have talked about, if you want to look at nitrate leaching, one of the first things you need to look at is what's the driving force for that, which of course is the water flow through the system. So in that first 15-year study, our average annual precipitation is about 112 centimeters, most of which comes as rainfall. If you look on the right-hand side there, the 20-meter drain spacing, our widest drain spacing, about 12% of our average annual precipitation comes out as drainage. And as you move those drains closer together, you get more water per hectare. That's the idea of drainage, is you're removing more and more water. So with our narrow drain spacing, we're removing a little bit more than 20% of our average annual precip. Okay, so that was our first 15 years. What's happened in the next 14 years? Well, the first thing is that our average annual precip increased from about 112 centimeters. It increased about 9% to 122 centimeters of precip, much of which came during the winter drainage season. But our drain flows increased about doubled. If you look at this early period, and then you see quite a significant increase in drain flow during that latter period. So there's a couple things going on here. First of all, most of that increased rain occurred during the leaching season. Secondly, the farm crew had been noticing for a number of years that our drains seemed to respond more quickly to drainage events than what they had when the drains were first installed. That even with smaller precipitation events, the drains would flow, would increase rapidly, and then would decrease rapidly. So we think that there's a couple of reasons for this. Number one is potentially a maturation in the drainage system, the development of additional flow paths to the drain tiles, which many farmers have observed in their experience. Number two, our no-till is now becoming long-term no-till, and we get an increase in the permeability of that soil as we build soil structure with no-till. We may also have some inconsistency with our methodology for estimating the missing data. In the first half of the study, we did a manual estimation where we had missing data starting in about 2003. We went to a more automated method of estimating that drain flow where we have the missing data. So we're working through that right now to evaluate that impact. We're very confident that there's been a significant increase in the flow, but the exact numbers we may modify a little bit as we reevaluate those two different ways of estimating that data. So significant increases in drain flow, and another way that we looked at that is to calculate a flashiness index, which is basically reflecting how rapidly that drainage increases and then decreases. And you can see that there's a significant trend here for increased flashiness. This is just calculated for one of the drains as an example, from the early part of the study to the latter part of the study, which again goes along with the observations of the farm crew that the drains respond very, very rapidly to even relatively small rainfall events now. Okay, so what about the concentration? We have nitrate, nitrogen in parts per million or milligrams per liter on the y-axis. And during the first 5 years of the study, again, we had 285 kilograms of nitrogen, and we had concentrations that were in the 20 to 35 part per million range, which, of course, are quite high, but were quite typical at that time in the Midwest. As we reduced the fertilizer rate to 228 kilograms, the concentrations dropped to between 15 and 30 parts per million. And then as we went into our corn-soybean rotation with a trap crop, and our reduced fertilizer rates at the end down at 177 kilograms per hectare, we were consistently in the 7 to 10 part per million range. Of course, our drinking water standard is 10, so we're consistently below our drinking water standard during this time. I can't, because of the design of the experiment, I can't totally separate how much of that last drop in nitrate concentration is due to the further reduction in nitrogen rate and how much of it is due to the cover crop, but we know that a significant part of that is due to our cover crop treatments. And other colleagues around the Midwest have found consistent reductions in nitrate leaching from those cover crops as well. All right, so that was the first 15 years. What's happened in the next 14 years? Pretty much our concentrations have remained stable in that 5 to 10 part per million range. Again, as a result of cover crops mostly every other year during that time period. So our cover crop is being very effective over the long term in maintaining that concentration between 5 and 10 parts per million. What's happening, of course, as has been mentioned by several other folks in different capacities in this session, in our case, our corn soybean system is normally fallow from October through April, but that's exactly when the majority of our drainage flow is occurring. Our drains typically start flowing in November, and whenever there's drainage, there's nitrate in the drainage water. The majority of our drainage flow is occurring during this normally fallow season. So the idea with the cover crops is by having something growing in the fall and then going dormant and then coming growing again in March and April, we're reducing those nitrate concentrations. And even though our cover crop is not significantly affecting our water flow, unlike some perennials, it is affecting that concentration, so it's really reducing that concentration. All right, so what about loads? This is the slide that I use when I'm talking with farmers and their advisors. To kind of make my plea for more intensive nitrogen management. We look at the first three-year period, 86 to 88, where we had our high fertilizer nitrogen rates and no cover crop. We have loads of about 27 kilograms per hectare per year of nitrogen from the wide spacing. And then as you bring those drains closer together, remember, we're removing more water per hectare, which means that we're also removing more nitrogen per hectare. So we lost about 50 kilograms of nitrogen per hectare per year during that early period. Towards the end of that first 15-year period, our concentrations had really been reduced by a combination of our practices. So we were in the 10 to 15 kilogram per hectare range. We still see a bit of the stair step. Again, as you bring the tiles closer together, you remove more water and more nitrogen, but loads greatly reduced. If you look at the change then from that three-year period to our next 14-year period, remember our nitrate concentrations stayed low, 5 to 10 part per million. But we had more drainage, a lot more drainage, and so our loads again have gone up. Now, they're not as high as what they were in the first part of our study, but they've definitely gone up from that 97 to 99 time frame. And again, you see this stair step where our wide spacing is losing about 24 kilograms and our narrow spacing is losing about 35 kilograms of nitrogen per hectare per year. So I use this slide as my plea to folks that if we're going to intensify drainage, which many of our farmers are because of the beneficial effect that it has on crop production, that we also need to intensify other aspects of our nitrogen management system, and cover crops would be one way of doing that. Controlled drainage is also another way, because otherwise we'll end up with losses like on the left-hand side of that graph where we have very significant losses. So a couple summary then. The bottom line, drain spacing matters. The closer you put your drains together, the more water you lose per hectare, the more nitrogen you lose per hectare. Rainfall excess matters, of course. Most of our extra rainfall was coming during the leaching season, not during the growing season, and so that's going to carry more nitrogen. Nitrogen fertilizer rate and form matter. The rate, of course. The form, I didn't show that data today. For us, it actually didn't matter for the total loads. It only mattered for point concentrations after when it was nitrate as opposed to after anhydrous, but it didn't matter for our total loads. Cover crops reduce nitrate concentrations and loads, and we've seen perhaps some development of the soil with time as a result of both our drainage and no-till and possibly others. So again, if we intensify our drainage systems, which many of our farmers are doing, then we should also intensify management of other aspects of our system, such as possibly controlled drainage or cover crops. Future directions basically capture and use more of the nitrogen to make our system less leaky, which cover crops and perennials are part of that, and use more of the water. That could be controlled drainage. It could be recycling some of our drainage water. And, of course, there's many challenges in practice. So thank you very much.